We talk a lot about aging, aging with good health, aging with a good health span, and longevity. And we talk a lot about supplements that don't work, or to diets that are rather silly. But today, the biggest anti-aging story isn't in a pill or a cold plunge or a fasting app. It's in your metabolism. And it starts with a class of drugs we once thought were just for diabetes, the GLP-1 receptor agonists, you know, Ozempic, Zepbound, etc. These medications are now being primarily used for obesity, and they're doing remarkable things, not only reducing weight, but reversing many of the diseases that travel with, and maybe because, of obesity. And since obesity clearly shortens your health span, it's not surprising that these drugs are now being looked at as tools to improve health span, the years you live well, not just lengthening a miserable life. But it turns out there is much more to these drugs than weight loss. These drugs have anti-inflammatory effects, cardiovascular protection, reductions in stress physiology, and emerging evidence they may delay cognitive decline. And many of those benefits appear to be independent of weight loss. So the idea that GLP-1 drugs and now triple agonists like retatrutide might represent a new class of anti-aging medicine isn't hype. It's a serious scientific question. Even Peter Attia, whose clinic focuses almost exclusively on longevity and health span, has discussed using GLP-1 drugs at lower doses in select patients to support metabolic health and long-term health span. This week, Eli Lilly released striking phase 3 data on their newest compound, retatrutide, a triple hormone drug that isn't just helping people lose weight. It may be resetting the biology of aging. Today, on 4Q, we're going to make sense of the madness of health span and GLP-1. I am your chief medical explanationist, Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is 4Q, Fork University, where we bust myths, make sense of the madness, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. When we talk about longevity, we're really talking about metabolic stability, blood sugar control, lower inflammation, lower oxidative stress, the ability of cells to repair, and GLP-1 agonists touch all of these systems. Now, they were designed to mimic a gut hormone, the glucagon-like peptide 1, GLP-1, which signals satiety and improves glucose regulation. But over the last decade, we've learned they do far more than lower hemoglobin A1c and make diabetes better controlled. They reduce systemic inflammation. They improve mitochondrial efficiency. They lower oxidative stress, and they improve vascular function. The same biology that reduces appetite may also make cells behave younger. Enter retatrutide. In Lilly's phase 3 Triumph 4 trial, participants lost nearly 29% of their body weight, over 70 pounds on average, and saw major improvements in inflammation, blood pressure, lipids, and joint pain. But weight loss is just the surface. Retatrutide targets three key pathways. There's the GLP-1 pathway, which reduces appetite and inflammation. There's the GIP, which improves insulin sensitivity and nutrient handling. And this one adds a glucagon, which increases energy expenditure and fat oxidation. If GLP-1 calms the system and GIP balances it, glucagon fights a controlled metabolic fire, keeping metabolism from slowing down as weight is lost. That's not just slimming. That's metabolic rejuvenation. Let's talk about inflammaging. Aging isn't just wear and tear. It's driven by chronic low-grade inflammation, where gerontologists call inflammaging. Inflammaging fuels heart disease, strokes, type 2 diabetes, fatty liver, arthritis, and likely cognitive decline. In the Triumph 4 trials, retatrutide decreased CRP, triglycerides, and blood pressure, classic anti-aging biomarkers. Less inflammation means fewer senescent cells, healthier blood vessels, and better organ function. Let's talk about heart disease and GLP-1s. And if you want to talk anti-aging, you have to talk heart disease, because nothing ages you faster than a heart attack. Across multiple cardiovascular outcome trials, GLP-1 receptor agonists, which is all these new drugs, have shown a 13% reduction in cardiovascular death, a 9% reduction in non-fatal heart attacks or myocardial infarctions. In the so-called LEADER trials, liraglutide reduced cardiovascular mortality by 22%. Now, semaglutide and dulaglutide show similar reductions, enough that the FDA now recognizes certain GLP-1 drugs as cardiovascular risk-reducing therapies in patients with type 2 diabetes and established heart disease. These benefits are not just about sugar control. Turns out that GLP-1s lower blood pressure, reduce inflammation, improve endothelial function, that's the cells that surround the vessels, reduce oxidative stress, and decrease what we call RAS activation, which means at the cellular level, they protect heart cell muscles from multiple forms of cell death and enhance autophagy and mitophagy. That means the heart is cleaning up old cells and old mitochondria. They don't dramatically treat heart failure the way an SGLT2 inhibitors do, but they are safe and reduce atherosclerotic risk. Avoiding a heart attack is one of the most powerful anti-aging interventions and powerful ways to increase your health span. People who live a long time aren't free from heart disease, but what they are free from is heart disease for a little while, meaning health span puts it off. Now let's talk about the brain. Let's be careful here. GLP-1 drugs do not reverse dementia. They do not improve cognition once dementia is established. Recent trials in people with diagnosed Alzheimer's disease have shown no meaningful cognitive improvement. And that's critical for me to tell you that clearly. The promise of GLP-1 drugs is prevention and delay, not cure. And in large observational drugs, GLP-1 users had roughly 33 to 45% lower risk of developing dementia compared with other diabetic drugs. The 2025 Journal of the American Medical Association Neurology had a study that showed a 33% lower risk of Alzheimer's and related dementias, especially in people who have cardiovascular disease. Randomized trial meta-analysis show a real but more modest protective signal, stronger than what we actually see with other types of drugs. Mechanistically, GLP-1s reduce neuroinflammation, that's inflammation of the brain. They improve insulin signaling in the brain. They enhance vascular health in the brain. They perform neurogenesis, and they may reduce amyloid and tau pathology. Age matters. The benefit appears stronger when started earlier, before neurodegeneration is established. But our goal here is not immortality. The goal is to push dementia far enough into the future that many people never reach it. That's health span. Let's talk about ultra-processed food and brain aging. This may be the real villain. Ultra-processed food isn't a terribly difficult concept, but you probably get the general idea. These foods hijack the brain's dopamine reward system, increasing wanting while reducing pleasure. They're soft, fast, hyperpalatable, and engineered to be consumed before the gut can signal fullness. Ultra-processed food intake is linked to higher inflammation, lower gray matter density, worse metabolic health, and faster brain aging. They disrupt that gut-brain access, damage the microbiome, and worsen insulin signaling in the brain. GLP-1 drugs are, in many ways, repairing damage caused by a food environment designed to exploit our biology. What about the Mediterranean diet and alcohol? Well, now here's the empowering part. If there is one dietary pattern with the strongest evidence for protecting the heart and the brain, it's the Mediterranean diet. Vegetables, legumes, fruit, whole grains, olive oil, fish, minimally ultra-processed food. This pattern reduces inflammation, supports the microbiome, improves vascular health, and slows cognitive decline. GLP-1 drugs calm the biology. The Mediterranean diet keeps it calm. And one more hard truth. We've talked about this before. Alcohol. The idea that alcohol protects the brain has never been held up. Even moderate drinking is associated with higher dementia risk, worse sleep, hippocampal injury, and increased neuroinflammation. If your goal is to protect your brain, less alcohol is better. No alcohol is best. So what does this really mean? Now, aging isn't about the years. It's about systems. GLP-1 drugs support metabolism. The Mediterranean diet supports biology. Avoiding alcohol protects the brain and the heart and the kidneys and the eyes. Movement and sleep lock it in. If we delay heart disease, dementia, and disability long enough, many people will never live long enough to experience them. That's not cheating death. That's winning at health span. If you're thinking about GLP-1 drugs, work with a qualified obesity or metabolic health specialist, not one of those peptide mills. Avoid research-grade compounds sold online. That's lab reagent. That's not medicine. And we want to go deeper into longevity medicine and Mediterranean eating, metabolic health, and evidence-based anti-aging. Join us on the Mediterranean Longevity Cruise in August of 2026. You'll have 10 days of real food, real science, movement, and conversations that actually matter. Details will be forthcoming. This was written and researched by me, Dr. Terry Simpson, and while I am a board-certified physician, I am not your physician. Always consult your own board-certified physician and a registered dietitian before making or starting any changes in medications and diets. All things audio are from my friends at Simpler Media and the pod god himself, Mr. Eve Otero. All right, everybody, have a good week. Hey, Evo, if GLP-1s, the Mediterranean diet, and not drinking help people live longer and think clearer, are we obligated to keep doing this podcast into our 90s?
I mean, maybe. And also, what the hell else are we going to do, man?